Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I used to care so much about portraying a perfect life and acting like everything was okay when really things were far from it. I was secretly struggling with my mental health and wondering if other people were too. That's why I created RealPod. Hi, I'm Victoria Garrick Brown, and every Wednesday I host the types of conversations that most of us only have in therapy. RealPod brings you the heart-to-heart moments we all need to be having and will leave you feeling comforted no matter where you're at in life. So leave the filter at the door, because it's time to get real. Tune into RealPod wherever you get your podcasts.
From Vanderpump Rules to motherhood and everywhere in between, it's time to catch up with Sheena Shea. This is Shenanigans. And now, here's your host, Sheena Shea.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Shenanigans. I hope everyone had an awesome Thanksgiving. It is Black Friday. Be sure to check out shop.dearmedia.com if you want to get some of my new merch. They're doing discounts today, this weekend. Don't know how long it's going on for, so I would recommend hopping on today. But
act now if you want the deals is really the message. Yes.
Without further ado, I have someone sitting across from me who has been a dream guest of mine since I started this show on a TV show I have watched for as long as I can remember. We've got my sis on the co-host mic.
Hi, guys.
Because she made this all happen. Courtney, please introduce our amazing guest.
We have Joe Gatto.
Hey, I'm here. I did it.
Okay, so Impractical Jokers is a show that I have been watching for so long, so many years. But in the pandemic, when we were staying at my house in Palm Springs, it kind of just became a part of our regular daily routine where we knew if we put on True TV at whatever time, it was just going to be a marathon.
Yes.
We've seen the movie. My sister also works with Miss Paula Abdul, as I'm sure you guys have talked about.
Paula.
Yeah.
But forever my girl.
Literally so good. So this has just, been, I hoped, a long time coming.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember, but we briefly met at a Chargers game.
Yes, you did.
Last season. And I got your manager or someone's info, and then they never reached out. And I was like, damn, maybe I should have not just given him my info. I should have got it. But
yeah, that always gets lost in the shuffle. Yeah, it's always better to take in your own hands. Yeah. That's how I've literally met everybody that I've been a fan of. Basically just either seeing them live and just being like, people get so thrown off when like somebody of, you know, is like, hey, here's my number. And they're like, what? I'm like, no, this is my cell phone. You're like, you just give it. Like, you got to do it.
Yeah. So I realized that I shouldn't have just given him my information. I should have gotten his.
I didn't even know you had given any information. And then it took court coming to see me perform.
Yeah, so I went to Joe's comedy show. Love it. Second time. I've seen you live. And I know my sister had mentioned in the past, like, I would love to have Joe on the podcast.
Yes.
So I was like, it's a shot in the dark. You know, I'm just going to say it. what's the worst that could happen? Yeah. And it worked out. Here you're like, are. Yeah, Monday. And I was like, oh my God, wait, it's all happening so fast.
Yeah.
I don't waste our time. Yeah.
No, I loved it. It worked out so perfectly. We already had studio time booked, and I really prefer doing these in person. So I had Murr on my podcast back in, it might have been 2020.
I think it
2021.
Was.
No, I think what? I was pregnant. I think it was 2020.
You were pregnant in both years.
I was, yeah. Super pandemic times. But it was over Zoom. But just having all of you guys, anyone who could be a part of the show, and his team had reached out, I was like, oh my God, we got to get him. He said he was also going to ask you to do the show. And now it finally.
No one asked me ever besides her. And now I'm here. I mean, no. It just goes to show you, if you want something to happen, just send your sister.
Timing is everything.
I would
exactly.
argue that this isn't like the first time something like this has happened too. Where you like say something and I was like, I got it. I got you.
I love that sibling love. I'm tight with my sisters.
Yeah.
So I help my sister out. So that's good.
Well, this is manifesting at its finest. You've tweeted me before. I remember I saw it and I sent it to her and her boyfriend. I was like, oh my God, Joe tweeted me.
He knows me.
Yes. Acknowledge
well, I'm
my presence.
Glad that we finally got to sit down. It's so nice to meet you.
Me too. You as well. So a lot of people sent in questions. I'm sure you could guess what the number one question was.
Am I going back to the show?
Yeah. Why you left? Are you ever going back? So we don't have to get into that yet, unless you want to just jump right in. But I have, so one thing I do, whenever there's someone I know I eventually want to get on the podcast, I just start making a list of things in my phone. And there were several things that when I had Murr on the podcast, we didn't necessarily get to answer all of them. So
I'm getting Murr's leftovers. You didn't use any fresh thought.
This podcast, sorry, Murr, was prepped for you specifically because you tweeted me and I asked you to do my podcast and you're like, let's get into it or whatever you said.
Yeah.
But then Murr's team had reached out and I was like, well, I kind of already have the show prepped for Joe, but some of this could work for Murr. So these are the ones that I still had for you. I honestly, I don't even know where to start because it's like now you're here and I have so many questions, but how many seasons was it that you did?
I did 9.5.
Okay, 9.5. Do you guys plan these pranks together? Do you sit down with production? How many just off the cuff things? Like
lots off
the
cuff.
What goes into just making a season?
It's a mix of everything. It's like, you know, we're comedians. We've been comedians a long time.
Yeah.
We're comedians for friends first and then comedians as well.
Right.
So it all comes together in a different ways of things. A lot of it came just from hanging out and we were like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we tried this? It all comes, the beginning especially, was just social experiment.
Uh-huh.
How long can I hold this person's hand? Will that stranger hug me? What happens if I do this?
Right.
And it just compounded. And then it started getting a little bit more goal oriented where we're like, okay, because we didn't always just do the earpiece thing. It was always like, let's try to, if you look at the numbers, actually percentage wise, it's probably pretty low. Of the things, we just did a bunch of like challenges that we made up.
Right.
So then one, we fell in hard on this thing of try not to laugh. And it spawned so many different challenge ideas where you had to try to keep it together, which is fun. And then the focus group stuff and all this other things, preparing stuff for each other. So it was really fun every season to sit down 6 weeks and do pre-pro of, all right, what are we doing this season? And then the punishment stuff was always just like, it would go one of two ways. We'd all sit in a room and be like, okay, here's some stuff we could do. We know we would lose a certain amount each time. Then there'd be stuff that's specific to a person if they can, he's definitely afraid of heights, he's going to jump out of a plane, you know, things like that. You know, for me, it normally came down to, they just love to make them laugh.
Yeah.
So whatever they thought I would do funny, really, my stuff really wasn't about embarrassment. I really don't get embarrassed that easy. So it was more just like, what would be funny to watch Joe do? And I specifically remember one, we were sitting in the writer's room and, you know, the writer's like, hey, we need punishments. And I was like, I just sat out loud. I said, what if I was a massage chair? And everybody lost it.
Coming up with your own punishments is hilarious.
Well, you know, you're going to have to do some stuff, you know, but, and I knew like what the motivation was because at the end of the day, it's a comedy show. We're trying to make people laugh. You know, it's not really about like getting people or whatever. Our show is really a show about friendship. So it was like, and we just said that. And I was like, oh, that'd be really funny. And then Sal just started laughing. Me, Q, Sal, and Murr were all laughing about it. We didn't even develop anything further. I just said, that's it. We'll just go ahead. Like, that's make me a massage chair. So we send it in. You have to get everything approved by the network and you know how network life is, right? So you send it in and it literally said, massage chair punishment. Joe's a massage chair. And, and our AP at the time goes, what? He's like, what is that? Well, and we just like got him on the phone. We knew we wanted to do it. And we're like, he's a massage chair and people have to sit on him. And he has to pretend he's a massage chair. He's like, you're just saying the same words. And we're like, just trust us. And at this point, like we had done so much that, you know, credit to them, they let us pretty much do a lot that we wanted.
Yeah.
And we did it, and it was just hysterical. I didn't know certain things that had happened, which was fun. Like, they brought Bayamba in, like the sumo wrestler to sit on me, which I hadn't known, and stuff like that. So it was like interesting to do that. But a lot of it just came from a place of what's socially weird, what's fun. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we'd have writers pitch us ideas. Everything went through us.
Yeah.
We'd figure out, you know, that's it.
Love that you don't feel embarrassed. I also didn't feel embarrassment, I think, until I turned like 24. And then all of a sudden I started feeling embarrassed all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, why have I never felt embarrassed? You just turn 20 something and then it just happens.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that stayed with me, you know?
You can get it back. You can get
hopefully.
It back. Hopefully.
Yeah, for
sure.
But what the Impractical Jokers remind me of is, like, I feel like you guys were like the original, like, YouTubers almost. Like, I'm 26 now, and like a lot of the YouTube videos I watch, like, I feel like it does so well, and it did so well, and everyone loves it so much. It reminds me of like the David Dobrik vlog squad and like the laugh track and everything.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's just like a really like cool concept that
we
works
hear
in so many
a
different
lot
ways.
We hear a lot from a lot of those guys about how they grew up watching us.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of it is, I mean, we've been doing it for a while, you know, I'm old.
Yeah.
So this might be a little
bit. I see so many ways that it's like you guys inspired so many different forms of content. I see it with so many like big creators today.
Yeah.
Now, it's always been on my bucket list of things I want to do in my career. Your show specifically, but a hidden camera type of show where someone just, because I feel like that's something where I'm stepping out of my comfort zone.
Oh, yeah.
Now, after 11 seasons on a reality show, I'm sure I would get recognized more than if I did this, you know, a decade ago.
Right, right.
But I just think it would be so fun to just put myself out there to have to do something really embarrassing because that's what Joe or whoever in my ear is telling me to do.
True.
But,
you could just do it. We could go to Ralph's after this or something. And you
won't. Oh my God. I mean, I was going to say, or if there was like a celebrity version of like John Quinones, what would you do?
Right.
And it's like
exactly
you and Brock like fighting somewhere really public just to see what happens.
let's make it happen.
That'd be so funny.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Was there ever a punishment that you were just like, absolutely not? Or have you agreed to everything on this show?
No, we wouldn't produce it if we knew or thought our friends were going to say no. Because at the end of the day, we're friends.
Okay.
So we wouldn't make our friends do something. That said. There's some that took a little bit more coercing that we needed to do people to do. But for me, no, there wasn't really anything. There's been moments where it was like, what do we do? Like, you know, like the worst thing I've ever did, hands down, was steal the baseballs from children. They had Noah Syndergaard, a Mets pitcher, throwing out baseballs.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, we'll put Joe, and I had a bunch of kids, and like, we'll put Joe in there and just make Noah throw it to keep throwing it to Joe.
Uh-huh.
And I just told kids I could buy it on eBay and put it in my fanny pack. And I just kept doing
I
it. But
that.
It was kind of like, it started getting, if our show ever felt people were getting angry or if it felt mean, we stopped and recalibrated because that's on our show. We're supposed to feel embarrassed. We're supposed to look crazy, things like that. But if it felt mean, we always knew it was off. And there was a couple times where I towed the line.
Yeah.
But there was this one woman who, you know, I'm out there doing my thing and she was holding a baby. And I just said, oh, you want a ball? Give me your baby and he'll throw a ball to me. So I grabbed her. I was like, and I was calling him Jeter. They made me call him Jeter.
Yeah.
So I was like, Jeter, Jeter. And everybody was yelling at me, it's not Jeter. I'm like, Jeter, Jeter, throw me a ball. I got a kid. I got a kid. And he threw me the ball. So I got the ball and the woman was like all excited. And I gave her back the kid and I put the ball in my fanny pack. And she just lost her mind. And she was like screaming. She was like, what are you doing? I was like, and in hindsight, like you just gave a stranger your 2-year-old child to get
like,
a baseball. Like,
right.
So how am I wrong here?
Yeah.
But it was just like one of those things, I guess, you know, she was in her feels, or, you know, new mom, whatever was happening. And it just got really bad, out of control. And she was like yelling, like screaming. The whole place came to a halt. She's screaming at me. And in my ear, like I'm waiting for the guys to give me an idea of what to do. And I go, what do we do here, fellas? Like under my breath, silence. And you look back on the video, like, because, like, we edited everything, right?
Yeah.
And I look back at that moment on the video, and the guys are all looking at each other like everybody's speechless. So I'm like, I got to get out of this by myself. And that was, like, probably, like, one of the moments I was like, oh, this is a tough one.
Yeah.
But,
right.
You know, we worked it out, though.
I feel like especially when kids are involved, I remember there was one with Sal where you had to go and ruin, like, the artwork.
Q.
Or was it Q?
Yeah.
Okay. And all of these kids, they've spent so much time making these paintings and just going over.
The worst moment of my existence, hands down, is when that little kid looked up at Q and he goes, why? Like, we had to take it out because it felt so mean. And we were like, oh, no. But the parents were all in on it. So, like, that's the...
Yeah.
You know, the way that it goes around.
Hopefully, it teaches the kids some character.
Yeah. They do.
Like, maybe that would have needed to happen to me when I was younger and I'd be like different.
Most resilient. You wouldn't be embarrassed about anything. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Who out of the four of you would say has like wanted to back out the most from a prank? Or if they're just like, no, 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 this is.
Well, you could say no. So that was always the safety
net.
So it really just ran the gamut. Like, being able to say no is a nice tool in the show.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to do it. You don't want to do everything. Right. But you don't want to do everything. Like, you don't want, if you're just out there being willy-nilly and going, that's my problem with a lot of these pranks too brutal. Because I don't consider this a prank show. Mm-hmm. I consider this a hidden camera comedy show.
Yeah.
That's really where we were scripted. We thought things out. We improvised if we needed to be. Yeah. You know, we didn't know what was going to happen. The general public was a nice piece of the sauce. But like, we never got mean. You know, we tried not to.
Yeah.
And if it started getting mean, or you could just be like, no, this is, I'm out. And you could just, you know, hit the ripcord. So I think that was a good part of the show to have. And I think it's pretty even across. I probably said no the least, but it's pretty even. It's not far and away. There's been moments for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always wondered when y'all are sitting in like a doctor's office and you have like a fake broken arm, or you're filling out paperwork at these focus groups and whatnot. What type of doctor's office are you going into? Like, what are the other people in the room there for? Is it like a psychiatrist sort of doctor, or?
It depends what we're doing. We would get doctors and or focus group spaces that could look like offices that say that we were giving free psychology exams or free to be part of the study.
Yeah.
You know, but like we got a real dentist. We'd be in a dentist office. Like you saw us with the dentist chair. Like we'd be in a real podiatrist office. We did that. We got a lot of real doctors that were on board. Because it's like a commercial. It's like a 6-minute free commercial.
Right. That's true.
You know, and then people are, and it's, they all know it was in good fun. They knew they weren't going to look bad. Their patients weren't going to necessarily get mad. We'd be more conscious not to be mean to people's clients, you know, like massage parlors we did and stuff like that. You know, so it was like, it would just be a little different, but we were never, you know.
Yeah.
Some people were just like, no, get the hell out of here. What are you talking about? I remember there was like some places we really, really wanted to do that we just couldn't get. And we kept trying and trying. But then some places were like, yeah, like IKEA was like, sure. Like
on the
first, I was like, what? We're like, okay,
well,
fine.
Well, it's like the girls that get it. And the ones that don't.
Yeah.
Right. Like, either get it and you're cool or like you're not.
Yeah.
Is it easy to knowing that at the end of, you know, the bit that you're doing, you're going to have someone come over and sign a release and you're going to be able to tell them like this was a joke?
No, you don't really think about that.
Oh, okay.
Because in the minute you're still living, it doesn't matter because you can't say it now. Right. Like when it starts going in, the husband gets up. It's like, I'm going to break your neck. You can't be like, got ya. Like, it's like you have to live in that moment.
Yeah.
Like you had to fight through those moments to make the best TV.
Mm-hmm.
So when it got uncomfortable, that's when you knew it was right.
Yeah.
Like when it felt, when you wanted it to be over, that's the stuff that ended up on TV. Because I talk to strangers. I'm very good at talking to strangers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was like, I have two skills now from the show. One is I can hear multiple conversations at once.
Uh-huh.
Because I had the earpiece going in. I'm listening to three people, right? I'm listening to the earpiece.
Yeah.
I'm listening to what's going on. And I'm thinking about whoever's talking off to the side.
Totally.
But then the other one is you could really just talk to people. We used to talk to people for 10, 15 minutes in the park before we even started anything to see if they were a good mark.
Uh-huh.
You didn't want to waste your time.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
You know, so like you really had to like test the waters. So I'm pretty good at striking up conversations with people and being normal because you wanted to sell the turn.
Yeah.
Like if I'm just talking to you, like we're having a nice conversation and all of a sudden I start like smacking myself in the face. You'll let it go once if we were talking for 10 minutes and I was fine. And that's what we need, you know?
I feel like Brock would be good at this. My husband is such a good conversationalist. I mean, he could chat up literally anyone of any caliber.
Yeah.
That would be funny to say.
It's a skill set.
Yeah.
Do you talk to your Uber driver?
All the time.
Do you say how long you've been driving for?
No, I always. That's a very delicate relationship, the Uber driver, more than most marriages. And I would say because, like, you want it. If they want to talk, I'll talk.
Yeah.
And if they shut down, I'll shut down. But like in the morning, like on the way to the airports, if it's early, no way.
I like lying when I'm in Ubers. It's a good opportunity to be someone else, especially if they're like driving you home or picking you up from home.
Sure.
They don't need to know that this is my house.
It's never your house.
And suddenly I'm a different person, especially when I travel too, because the last thing you want an Uber driver to hear is that you're not from there.
Yeah.
So suddenly,
or
I'm like,
that you're not going to be home.
Yeah, that's so true. But if I'm in like a different city and I'm like, I don't want them to think that like I don't know where I'm going and that they can kidnap me and I won't even notice. So I'm always like, yeah, I'm just going to work. Like if I'm going to a restaurant or something, I'm like going to work.
That's a life hack. Everybody listening out there, that's
why
great.
Why haven't
work.
You ever given me that?
I don't know. I probably said,
I've been kidnapped
really
five
need to
times.
Get home to my kid right now.
I probably saw it on TikTok or something like within the past few years.
Yeah.
Another thing I do, and this probably isn't foolproof, but if I get into an Uber, I immediately like reopen the door as if like my bag is stuck to make sure like child lock is off.
That's 100% smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. But they could probably turn it on while we're driving. Like it's probably not foolproof, but it at least like.
Right.
If it didn't open right away, I'd be like, hey. Yeah.
Another hack is people open, when the doors open, they put the window down before they shut the door.
Oh, That's tea.
Yeah. Oh. So there you go.
A lot of hacks.
I'm here to help.
Yeah.
Tips and tricks for those listening and watching.
Who are afraid of being abducted by Ubers.
Yeah.
Right.
Or just want to have some fun with your Uber driver, you know, live a new life.
I love your entrance sentence could define the whole ride. Like if you get in and be like, oh, thank God I had to get out of there. That's setting up a great story.
Right. Or like you guys would do that too, getting off a phone call and then it's like, bye mom.
Yeah.
And it was like, you're saying something ridiculous.
Yeah.
I actually just saw another video of a girl in an Uber and she said that the Uber driver was flirting with her and making her really uncomfortable. And then the Uber said, do you have a man? And she responded, I am a man. And she said, it was silent.
Oh, silence. I saw that somewhere.
Yeah. And I was like, that's hilarious. That'll shut him up real quick.
Shut him down.
Right.
That's awkward to hit on your passenger.
Yeah. Just don't do it.
No.
Don't do it.
To all you Uber drivers out there listening, please don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So the longer that you've been on TV, obviously the more and more people who are going to recognize you.
Yeah.
Did it get more challenging each season to film? Or I know sometimes you guys would break the fourth wall a little and leave those parts in the show, but did you find it more challenging or there were still a lot of people who were just like, had no idea?
Still a lot of people had no idea.
Do you think anyone would ever fake it? Like
they tried. We see them coming miles away. They're on a camera. They're on a camera. We see that moment of recognition before they know it. You know?
That's a good point.
Because they're like, and then they walk over and they act like a robot. They'll be like, I'll take a cheeseburger, please. Like, you're like, you know what's going on.
They're like
but we did, what we did though, the hardest part, the biggest challenge for us was when you'll notice later in seasons, we stopped filming in parks and as couples, as in teams. Because one guy could look like somebody, but if I'm standing next to him,
then you know it's
like,
a
oh, that's
giveaway.
Them. Yeah. So that we kind of had to move away from that, which was unfortunate because I love doing that.
Yeah.
And the other thing was in parks or like supermarkets or whatever, we'd be talking. You have no idea who I am. It's going great. And then here comes somebody else being like, oh my God, Joe, can I get a picture? And they, they get you.
Draw
so our like production team would do like a Secret Service circle around us. And if they saw somebody coming in, they would literally put their arm around the shoulder and walk them away.
Oh, that's so
there's just people getting abducted, like taken all around us, like a bunch of Liam Neesons just taking everybody.
I abducted
everywhere.
A theme of this podcast.
It is.
It's got to be in the title.
Yeah. I didn't check the door if it's locked. I don't know if I get out of here. You feel like I'm a huge fan. I've wanted to talk to you for years.
Got you. I find you. I'm just at my little cute sister. No, seriously. Okay. I've so many more things that I want to ask you. We're going to take a quick little break and then we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right. Holiday times are upon us. We had Thanksgiving this week. We've got Christmas coming up, New Year's. If you're like me and you like to host parties and you like to cook, but you don't always know what to make, or maybe you have a picky eater at home, let me tell you, Pillsbury is for you. It is one of the things that always takes me back to childhood. So especially around the holidays, there's just a nostalgic thing about seeing some Pillsbury Crescent rolls in my refrigerator. If you have a picky eater, let me tell you, there are so many things you can do with these Crescent rolls that turn the side dish into a main dish. Weeknight recipes are as easy as fill, roll, and bake. So you can roll up all of your favorite ingredients into a crescent roll. Quick and easy spin on weeknight recipes. They also have so many reference recipes on Pillsbury.com. So if you want to do like pepperoni pizza crescent rolls, if you want to add some veggies and cheese in, I mean, you name it, they got it. You can find Pillsbury in the dairy aisle. Dinner prep is ready in 30 minutes or less. And I'm telling you, the side dish is now the main dish. And you're not going to regret going down that dairy aisle, picking up some Pillsbury for the holidays. Find more weeknight dinner recipes at Pillsbury.com. And from cooking to shopping, yes, the holiday season, it is upon us. And let me tell you, if you're going to be spending money, don't you want to be earning cash back on everything that you buy? Well, Rakuten is for you if that is what you are looking to do. It's a shopping platform that partners with over 3,700 stores across every category. I'm telling you, they've got beauty, they've got clothing, electronics, home, department stores, pets, etc. And it's like, you're already shopping at your favorite stores, so why not be saving money while doing it? Because if you ask me, it's a no-brainer, especially when it comes to places like Sephora and Chewy. I mean, these are ones that I shop at regularly, so it's like, yo, I'm spending the money. I may as well be earning some of that cash back. It's holidays, you know? You gotta save where you can and earn back whatever you spend. So basically, Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop because you can stack up holiday sales on top of cashback to maximize your savings. So you can shop through Rakuten for literally everyone on your gift list this holiday season. You're earning cashback on things like clothing and shoes for, you know, your fashionista friend. Maybe you have some white elephant games coming up, toys and games for the little ones, electronics for your boo. And let me tell you, membership is free. It's easy to sign up. So start all your shopping trips at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app to start saving today. Your cash back really adds up. All right. So I wanted to just kind of ease in, you know, ask some general questions about the show that I've been dying to know just ever since I started watching it. Because also as someone who's been on a reality show, the behind the scenes is always so interesting. And I feel like you don't get to see a lot of that like on our show. We don't break the fourth wall hardly ever. Mm-hmm. So watching any other shows, especially one like yours that's a hidden camera, I've always just wondered, like, how do they do this? Do people ever see the earpiece? And do they actually?
No, for the most part, no. I mean, and we have tricks to like cover it up or mm-hmm. move it quick. Like when Q had long hair, it was great for him. He just had his thing.
Totally.
But like we'll do a take it out. If we think they saw it, we'll take it out, turn our head that way on purpose, put it back in.
Yeah.
There's one punishment where I had to get sunblock applied to me by strangers as a punishment. I had to lay in Central Park, in Washington Square Park and get people to put, and get my whole body covered. So we're sitting there. And as we're setting up, I'm just setting up my thing. I put it down, and this NYU kid comes over. He's a really cool dude. He comes over, and he's like, Joe, I'm a huge fan. And he's like, can I take a quick picture? And I'm like, yeah. And so we take the picture, whatever. And he's like, oh, and he just sat down. And I was like, oh, this will be funny if we do this. And if we get him to do it, and we don't think.
Because he thought you were just.
Right.
I thought I was just chilling. Yeah. And I was like, if he just thinks I'm in my regular life taking the sun and I get him to apply, this would be great.
Yeah.
So we're like, and then like Sal like was like, do we use him? And we're like, I'm talking to Sal like off the shoulder. Like he's saying stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, I went to NYU. I was like, use him. And like stuff like that, right? So then we all get on the same page. Pete McPartland, who was the showrunner at the time, came out to like get the kid away. And me and Sal had been talking, but he was off comms because he didn't want people to know. He comes out in the season and we want to keep him. So I go, hey, Pete, good to see you. He's like, oh, hey, man. And then the kid goes, oh, is that Pete McPartland? Because Pete had been on the show and the behind the scenes stuff. So he recognized him. That's how big a fan this kid was.
And he still hasn't caught on.
So the guy walks away. He goes, oh, you are working. I said, oh, no, Pete's at work. He goes, well, I said, yeah, the offices are right here. He said, he's in the production office. I just came out. We were writing just to hang out and get some sun. And he's like, no. I said, yeah. I said, I'm human. I said, you know, so I'm sitting there and then I just start and I take out the I think sunscreen. I'm just, I'm like, yeah. I was like, you know, I said, but it's hard, you know, being out here. Get my back. And I said, you know, and he's like, oh, and he starts asking me questions. He's like, interviewing me, like, you. And I just talking to him, and he's just applying sunscreen to me, whatever. And I had to get him to do it all my whole body. So then he, like, halfway through, when I get him to do my thighs, he's like, are you sure you're not? I said, yeah. And I knew it was coming. So I took the earpiece out. I said, no, I'm not. I said, look, I don't have an earpiece. And I showed him my ears. Yeah. Look, I said, wait, there's no cameramen. Everybody was hidden really well. I was like, they knew that if they got caught, they were done. So all the cameramen did a great job. And I was with this kid for 25 minutes as he applied sunscreen.
Wow, the best day of his life.
And then when Sal, Murr, and Q, the way we did the reveal was, they just came in the park to be like, hey, oh, you're in the park too. And he's like, oh, you're all here. And he goes, wait a minute. And his face just melts. It was so fun.
That's so good. Yeah.
I'd be like, come on, man. You can get the spray on color. Yeah.
I think it was so much better that we used the one kid that knew me. Yeah. Like, it made it totally different. So, like, that was the thing. We just go with stuff sometimes.
I mean, yeah. How else would you convince someone to put sunscreen?
I don't know. I was pretty convincing.
You think so?
Yeah, I've done some crazy things.
That one. I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't know how. I mean, I could probably convince men to put sunscreen on me.
Yeah, that's easy.
But, like, the vice versa, I wasn't really.
Yeah.
Yeah. To get people to put it on you. Because we had done a challenge where we had asked people to put it on. We put it on people, and we all started with the same amount. And whoever you had the least amount at the end won. So you just, like, were dumping it on people to try, and they were covered in it. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Do you miss the show?
Yeah, I mean, it was a decade of my life. You know, it was how I did my, you know, a big part of my life for a while. So in the beginning, for sure, I did a lot.
Yeah.
I miss working with my friends, of course. You know, what a job that is, right?
Yeah.
You get to make people.
Is there a world where we see you back on screen with your friends?
I'll never say never. You know, you don't know.
I love that.
I don't say it. I don't see it in the immediate future. But, you know, I mean, there are. I love creating with them. We are friends. So
yeah.
I don't see why it might not happen at a different point. It's just not in the cards for me right now, or them, or us right now, you know.
What about a Tenderloins tour? On stage, maybe not necessarily on camera?
I think on stage would probably might happen first.
Okay.
Or easier, because you're in charge of that. You know, you don't need to sign off on a new show or whatever. Right. You just get out there and do it. Yeah.
Totally.
And I love to tour with the guys. I mean, we all love touring together. It's, you're on the road with your friends. It makes it a little less lonely, a little bit different. That was the biggest adjustment for me, doing stand-up solo. So I started that about a couple of years ago. And to be talking for an hour by yourself up there instead of with a collaboration is a different thing. And also creating the content by yourself is a little different. So it was a very different process for me, because I'd never really done any solo stage work. It was always my whole, you know, since 99, I've been on stage with people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the biggest change for me. That, and in comedy clubs, the smaller stages, I wasn't used to. I'd never done comedy clubs.
Right.
So when I did stand up.
Yeah, you guys in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, we're in arenas and theaters. So once I got back to the theaters, I felt way better, and I felt like my show got way better.
Yeah. Well, I still cannot wait to come and see one of your shows. I swear, every time you're in town, I'm out of town. I was just in Mexico. But
take a trip to New York. I'm playing the Beacon Theater. January 20th. January 20th.
Okay.
Beacon Theater. It's a big show for me.
Wait.
Yeah. Come on through.
I've been wanting a little winter New York.
There you go.
Literally, I was just talking to my team today about, are we doing New York in December? Or are we going to just push it to January? And literally today I said, I think we push it to January.
Yay.
Well, and Watch What Happens Live might be in the cards then for you,
too. I mean, I know our season 11 is premiering in January.
So?
We don't have an exact date yet, but I think it's maybe around then.
Oh!
So. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So
it might
work out. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah. No, you came right. That's it. Of course. Yeah, I'd love to.
Can we talk about, I know there was a lot of news and press around why you left. Can you say a little bit about that? I know we saw that you were saying you wanted to focus on your family. You've reconnected with your wife, which I think is incredible.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everything that's been said is said. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I had some personal life issues going on I needed to take care of. So it affected my mental state and what I could do. And so decided to go. And the stand-up thing started because, you know, the bills keep coming. You got to figure out how to provide for your family. And I had to make a transition into still, I love to make people laugh. So I was like, what can I do here? Talk to my team.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're like, try stand-up. And that's how that whole thing panned out. And I always wanted to, you know, I never wanted to be on camera. It wasn't my dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just ended up on and love Jokers, but I just got to be myself, which I loved. Like, I'm not a character, but I always wanted to be a writer and director. That was my dream in life, to become a writer and director of film. So I've been able to pursue that and do things, and then, you know, take care of being a good dad and all that. So it's, and then getting back together. So
that's
awesome. It all worked out.
No, but it's fun to travel again, be on the road again.
Yeah.
Being on the road's different now because I, you know, I control my own schedule too.
Mm-hmm,
so like I still, I get to drop them off to school on Thursday or Friday morning before I leave. So
yeah.
It goes a little less days seeing them and work all that out, which is nice.
Yeah.
And I get to take them with me, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, my kid's coming. My daughter came to Cincinnati with me. He had a great surprise. It was so fun.
Like, how old is she now?
She's 8 and my son's 6.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So they're fun.
That's such a fun age.
Yeah. I just had the summer off, which is great. I got to teach my son how to ride a bike, how to swim.
Aww.
It was really fun.
That's she awesome. Is a 2.5-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay. She's catching up.
Yeah. So great. It's like
boy,
every
is it boy
age
or girl?
A girl.
Girl, that's excellent.
Yeah. And every age has just been the best.
Yeah.
But
you're about to get into real fun.
Yeah.
Like they start giving back in a real way, like at 3. Like that was really interesting. I didn't find the terrible, well, for my kids, I didn't have like a terrible twos thing.
Yeah.
I think at 3, they're a little bit harder to manage with their personalities because they get frustrated on how to express what they want.
Yeah.
Because they're not there. Even if they know words and how to talk, they just don't get it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's a little weird.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say, I know that this industry can be tough, and especially anyone who is married knows that marriage is work. So for you to be able to step away from something you love doing and focus on your family and for you guys to come back together, I just think is so admirable and incredible because not a lot of people, you know, make it in this industry and in marriage and in life.
In
and
any
all of
marriages
that.
So or industries,
it's,
yeah.
It's hard enough just, you know, without cameras in the whole world watching you. But when I saw that you guys had reconnected, I was just like, wow, that is so incredible. Because obviously as fans, we missed you when you left the show. It definitely was not the same. But it's like, you have to do what's best for you at the end of the day and your family. Family comes first. So the fact that you were able to do it all, literally. And now you're on the road and you're doing so many other things you've been passionate about. I just think is incredible.
Oh, so, thank you. Thank you for saying that. Very kind of you.
Yeah.
Well, and everyone expects to know things about your life. Like, it's different. Like, she has been through so many relationships on her show, and that's what people feel entitled to. But I'm like, that has nothing to do with you do on screen or anything. And they still feel entitled to that information, which is
Well, I think
stupid.
It's too when you're like, because you're you get that part of it, right?
Yeah.
You're you. You're not a, you know, so they're like, oh, they feel like they know you. Like, it's when you meet people, too. It's like when you see them, they're like, oh, my God. Oh, you're not as fat as you are on TV. It's like, thanks. You know,
so many backhanded compliments.
Yeah, it is. But then also, like, you've been there for people in a real way, like, you know, as therapeutically.
Mm-hmm,
and you get people who come up to you like, oh, my God, I have cancer. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, they hit you with that. So, but that gives you a, like, it fulfills you in a different way where it's like, okay, I've been here for these people through as many years as you've been doing it. So that's a big thing. You know, you're doing too. So,
no, literally, this happened to me at BravoCon. She saw it. I had like a full meltdown because there was a woman who came up to me and she asked me to do a photo or a video for her best friend's mom who was like literally like dying that week. Mm-hmm. She's like, she's not going to make it much longer. And it was like, someone else came up to me and they're like, you did a cameo for my friend going through chemo. And it was just like so much love and it was so overwhelming. But I was like,
oh, you had to breathe. Yeah.
And I just like took it. She's like, what's wrong? I was like, no, it's good. It's okay. But I was just like, that video, like doing a video for a woman who's dying and this was like a dying wish.
And that's what
I was
she wants.
Just like, oh my God. It's like
you have impact.
And it's so crazy. And I mean, your guys' show is one that, you know, I mean, in the pandemic when the whole world is shut down and freaking out and no one knows what's going on, it was just a place to provide comedic relief in such a crazy time. So
that's when I started watching.
Well, I mean, we True TV, the station, plays in hospitals and prisons. So we have so many people that have come out of prison that you got me through the hardest time. Thank you so much. My rental car broke down. True story. My rental car broke down last night. They had to tow it from my hotel. So the guy shows up and gets out and he goes, no way. I go, yeah. He goes, dude, I watched you for 5 years in prison.
No,
I go, hey, man, that's good to see you. I'm like, how you doing? He's like, oh, great. I've been out 3 years. We gave a hug and a really nice guy.
Oh,
it's
my
just,
God.
But it's so funny. Like, could you imagine that guy's mind? Like, he's towed, you know, paying the bills, towing this truck at like midnight and it's my car.
Yeah. Right. And you don't even live here.
I know. It's so funny. So, yeah, but like, you're there for people in a real way. And that's not lost on me at all. I mean, and you came to the meet and greet. You see what it's like back there. Like, you get these, you spend time with people, talk to them, hear their stories. It's really.
Well,
it's really good.
What I was thinking too at BravoCon, it's like, and same with like your meet and greets, they're fast and someone gets 30 seconds with you, 60 seconds. They want to prepare like what they have to say. And it's like, they threw that on you. Like, can you film a video from my friend who has cancer?
Like,
and it's like, they don't realize what they're throwing on you so quickly, but
so
they know
heavy.
That they're only going to have like a few seconds with you and just want to get it completed,
get
you know?
Yeah,
but it was just, it was like so much love and so overwhelming in like the best way possible.
For sure.
But it was just like, I was fine signing vinyls and taking pictures, but then it was just like, boom. And I was like, oh my God. And then at the very end of BravoCon, the last woman I met had told me she just got diagnosed with cancer. And I was just like, oh my God, it was so many people that you're just like, and she was like, I'm just like, this made my weekend. Like, I'm about to start chemo next week. And like, I was just like, wow, you never
no, it's like you can see comments and whatnot, but then when you get the in-person interactions with people totally and you different. Actually see the impact you have, it's
on a real person, right? Yeah. In front of you. Yeah.
No, it's so crazy, but
that's good.
Yeah, no, your guys' show has brought so much joy to so many people. And yeah, I've been wanting to have this moment for a long time.
Oh,
so.
I always say too, I don't laugh a lot. Not in like an
no, she doesn't. It is
like,
so hard to make
funny.
Her laugh.
Yeah.
I think I'm just like, I have a high standard of things that make me laugh. I'm not going to laugh at something that's not that
it's
funny.
It's going to be worthy of your giggle. Yeah. I hear you.
And it's funny because she gets like really stoked when she makes me laugh.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys make me laugh. So.
Yeah,
all right. Just wanted to let you know that.
Good. So good. I'm up for it. All right. Nice.
No, literally. It's like if I send something, if I get a genuine LOL, I'm like, wait, was that funny? Did you think, am I funny? Because
Tell me again.
She's a hard one to impress for sure.
Sweet.
All right. We got a lot of questions on Instagram. That was the main one. So I did have to ask that. People want to know if you've, I know we talked about this before, if you've ever watched VPR or if you heard anything about the scandal.
Oh, well, I'm on social media a lot. So things will pop up. People get crazy about it. Oh my goodness. Yeah. You're in a different type of thing that like, cause what you do out there is people are like, they're sides. You've got like that's different. Like all of us, like I was team Joe, I was team Sal. Oh, but they're all funny.
Right.
No, that's not what it's like with you.
Oh no. It
you
was
guys.
Just team Ariana. Right. Like everyone, it was
it's polarizing.
Yeah.
It is.
No, it's crazy.
It is. So I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen the drama and I hope you're okay. Yeah.
I feel like
it's still recovering.
I feel like it must've reached like indigenous tribes. I think everyone heard about the scandal. Even like this most recent season of American Horror Story. They talk about it
yes.
in it.
Really?
They literally spoof it. It's Angie Cohen and Emma Roberts' character, and she's on an episode of Watch What Happens Live, and she makes a joke that she fucked Tom Sandoval to get the part on the show, and it was just like...
And like Kim Kardashian's the lead in this season too. Like it's like a massive
That's
season.
Insane.
And I was just like watching at home like... Am I dreaming? Like, I'm so confused.
It's so crazy.
That is nuts. Wow.
But safe to say, Team Ariana?
I'm like, that's the right answer.
Oh, you're going to try to divide my crowd now.
I'm like, no, I can't. That's the right answer.
I will just say, I'm not a fan of drama. I hope everyone's okay.
Yes. Everyone is. She's okay. Crushing it on Dancing with the Stars right now. She's probably going to win the whole thing.
Okay,
so
there you go.
Yeah.
You can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Best and worst punishment you've ever had to do?
The best is probably, I mean, I've 10 years of so many things I've done there, but I mean, I love using my body as a weapon. So you've heard me talk about like breaking the tables as the manager with my body was always very fun to me, but the genie was really
good
too.
That was good,
The genie.
Oh my God, the genie. Yeah. I remember
the
genie.
I think you said the worst is probably the baseball.
Baseball for sure.
Like you talked about earlier.
That was terrible. That was one of the most terrible moments, but also like the punishments, like I said, I weren't really bad for me as they were more like, oh, I got to do this kind of thing and just getting through it and trying to do it funny. But just the baseball moment was like probably the worst moment.
Yeah, I just watched an episode last night and it was when Sal's punishment was the bingo and he had to keep calling it. And I just did bingo for the first time last week. So this is fresh in the brain. I just did drag bingo and that one was painful to watch.
It was the closest we've come to a riot, I swear. Because the place we were doing weren't having a bingo event. We did it in a real bingo hall at a casino and they weren't having an event. So we had to put up the prize money. So we were like, you have to put a good amount so people will go. So they did like a $5,000 prize and all these old ladies came in here. Right. And they were cutthroat. Talk about drama. They were cutthroat. So like Sal's messing with a real bingo game. Yeah. He just keeps yelling bingo and they had to stop down the whole thing and they were in on it. So they kept being like taking their time to check it. And there was Sal was amongst older ladies. And by the 18th or 19th time he screamed bingo, one woman was behind him with a glass bottle. And she goes, if you say bingo one more time, I'm breaking this over your head. I swear we have. And I was like, at Sal, we're like, you got to say bingo. He's like,
oh my gosh.
And that's when he gets pulled out. We got to get him out of here, but you got to say bingo one more time.
Yeah, that's right. But she grabs the bottle.
She was ready to go after him. But I couldn't believe these old ladies went crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be pissed too. I think at any age, someone's calling bingo incorrectly that many times. Right.
Especially there's some money on the line here.
Yeah. Like, was it Sal or Q? One of them had to keep, I remember at Universal Studios, pulling the thing
that's
down.
That's the worst thing we've done.
Oh my god.
He had to stop the tram, pulling the emergency thing, and that was insanity. It's supposed to be a 40-minute ride. It took over 2 hours.
Oh my gosh.
These people. Yeah. It was
Every time we're on that tram, I think of that punishment and I'm like, if anyone were to keep doing that.
Yeah, I know.
They told us
Universal, it took us a while to talk them into it, but we did a whole episode with them. But they said it's practice. If somebody pulls it, they're off. That's it.
Yeah.
Like they're like, we would take you off. We're like, yeah, but nobody knows that. We don't know that.
Yeah, I wouldn't know that.
So we're like, yeah, but that's our policy. I'm like, well, nobody knows your policy.
No one read the terms and conditions when they bought the tickets.
Everybody
about
just
that.
Click the agree box. Yeah.
This is a Vanderpump reference, so you might not get this one, but people want to know, how does it feel being the number one guy in the group?
Is that a reference?
Yeah.
I don't know the reference.
There was a whole thing one season. One of the guys was like, I'm the number one guy in this group. It's me. And then now it's become a thing where he's not the number one guy. Number two and number three are not the number one guy. It's like number four is now the number one guy.
Oh, really?
But you just are the number one guy in the group. So.
Thank you for thinking so. That's sweet of you.
How does it feel?
It feels great. It'd be weird if you're like, how's it feel being number three in the group? I guess as long as I'm not last. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. There is one more thing I want to talk to you about. But before we do, just one last quick little break. It's golf. It's not golf. It's Top Golf. It's one of my favorite pastimes I've been talking to you a lot about lately because it's so much fun. If you haven't done it, what are you waiting for? Because let me tell you, at Top Golf, everyone's good. Literally, there's no one who's not good at Top Golf. So if you don't golf, it doesn't matter because, yes, golf can be kind of hard. But at Top Golf, let me tell you, everyone can play, even if you've never swung a club before. And here's the best part. So Half Price Tuesday, it's a whole day each week dedicated to more play for less pay. So they do this thing on Tuesdays where all gameplay is half price, giving players more of a reason to come and play around. Top Golf, it's an anytime activity. You can do it with your family on a weeknight, on a Sunday afternoon with your friends. Make it a boys' day. Make it a girls' night. I'm telling you, it's going to be fun. You can do a coworker holiday party, like so, so many options. And I just want to mention, we're all about play, but even we have some rules. Half Price Tuesday applies to gameplay only, isn't offered at every venue, and can't be doubled up with other offers or discounts. I mean, it is already half price after all. So full details can be found at topgolf.com/goodasgold. Visit topgolf.com/goodasgold to book a bay and come play around. Again, that's visit topgolf.com/goodasgold to book a bay and come play around.
I know we wanted to talk about your dogs.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So how many dogs do you have now? What pastries are they named after? And you were telling me about a rescue, a charity that we wanted to discuss.
Well, so I started last year. We got our nonprofit status. So Gatto Pups and Friends is a full charity now. Amazing. Which is great. And we just adopted out, I think, our 56th dog last week.
Gosh,
yeah, which is great.
Awesome.
In a year. So it's been fantastic. But we just started collecting old dogs.
Collecting.
Yeah, we're collecting them. Like Bessie has a huge heart and loves older, you know, animals that are falling apart. So we mainly do senior and unwanted dogs in New York.
Okay.
We operate out on Long Island. And it's just Ghetto Pups and Friends. So the Ghetto Pups, we have about 9 that are ours.
Okay.
And then the end Friends fluctuates from who's alive, who's adopted, who whatnot. I think right now we have maybe 20 in the sanctuary.
Yeah.
So we have about 29 dogs right now, or 30 dogs right now. And yeah, they're all named after Italian desserts and pasta dishes because that's on
love
brand.
That.
You
know? Are you going to run out of names one
well,
day?
Well, we bumped into cheeses now.
Okay.
Well, then we started doing you know, holiday themed ones. So we got a pumpkin pie.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
cute.
Yeah, we got a couple of different ones there. You know, we had a mashed potato who got adopted.
Oh, mashed potato! Yeah,
so
I'm gonna cry.
So cute. Yeah, so we did. You know, we do that, but it's all food themed. That was the joke with me and Bessie. So like, we bought our first dog, Cannoli. Mm-hmm. I said, listen, I'll buy this for you, but I get to name the dog, and that's the deal. So we just kept that going. So whenever we got a new dog,
yeah,
I got to name it. So I just started naming them all after foods and stuff.
So. No, so I brought that. This up to Joe a few days ago when we met because me and my boyfriend are looking to get a Chihuahua. And so he grew up with Chihuahuas and they had Modelo, Tecate, Dos Equis, and Corona. And I was like, I love that. We should keep that going. Like when we get more and more dogs, but I wanted to switch to hot sauces. So we were talking about Chihuahua named Tapatio, Cholula, Sriracha.
Yeah, Sriracha's great.
And then you said Chico de Gallo.
Chico de Gallo. Chico de Gallo.
Yeah.
A great
I
name.
Love that. I feel like Chico or Chica, like depending on its gender, would
Chico
be a really cute,
totally,
really cute name for a Chihuahua.
We
so
have,
that's what we're
we
on
have
the...
one now, Nacho. That's
Nacho.
In our, with us right now,
that's
Nacho. Yeah, we had Nacho right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always been talking on the pod. I'm so adopt, don't shop. I foster pit bulls. I adopted a pit bull 3 years ago. Would love to adopt another. I think she's a really good foster sister as well.
Oh,
like,
great.
I think she's like the perfect example of dogs you bring in the home and would kind of make them a little bit more and more adoptable. So I love that you do that, especially with senior dogs.
Oh,
I encourage everyone to foster senior dogs because when you do that, whether you foster or adopt, you're saving two lives because you save the one that's now in your home and the one that takes its place.
Yeah. But you know, too, with older dogs, people don't realize it's a lot easier than puppy stuff. They just sleep, eat, you pet them, and that's it. They mostly do that. I have, and it's funny, they all bond and stuff. It's really cute. But I would have brought you some old dogs.
Oh.
You should have told me. I would put some in the carrier.
Next year, but maybe I'll pick one up in New York.
In January, when you come through, we'll bring you a nice
back.
One.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want like a little Chihuahua mix of some sort, because I think it's really funny. If we pull up with our pit bull with like a flower crown and a pearl necklace, and then my Chihuahua with like a spike collar.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Like, I want my Chihuahua to be the tough one, and my pit bull to be the angel, which is probably how it would go. Anyways.
Yeah, we had the sweetheart cinnamon roll. She was so sweet. We should have adopted out. She was great.
I can't with these names. They're so cute.
She's sweet.
I love that. Well, I just wanted to make sure that the pups got a shout out on
Ghetto Pups and Friends on Instagram. It's at Ghetto Pups and Friends, or ghettopupsandfriends.com is the website. We could donate, help, volunteer, or just spread the word.
Amazing. And I will be linking that in the podcast description as well as on our YouTube video.
Sure.
So what's next for Joe? We're touring. We're doing the solo thing, writing, directing. Do you have any passion projects that you're working on right now?
Yeah, the solo tour. JoeGattoOfficial.com is where you get your tickets. I'm going to film a special in March, which I'm excited about.
That's so exciting.
And then, just continue to write movies and work on some scripts. I got some stuff ironed in the work, but I can't really talk about. But things are going well.
Hell yeah. Is there anywhere you're traveling that you've never been that you're like excited to go?
Australia in February.
Oh.
I'm doing an Australia tour. Yeah.
I'll be in Australia in February.
Are you kidding me? So we hang out in January?
Right?
Hang out in February?
Wow. Did we just become best
friends? That's it. This is all it took. We finally got to sit down. I'm going to February. I'm doing my first tour there. I'm going to Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane. A bunch of places.
Same.
Oh, wow. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're working on dates right now.
Oh, that's great. Well, look what my dates are and sync it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you've never been?
Never been. Always wanted since I was 12.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
My husband's from New Zealand, but raised in Australia.
Oh.
And
I'm playing Auckland.
Okay.
I'm playing. That's why I finished in New Zealand.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to have to look up these dates and sync it up.
Yeah. You should do it.
So stay tuned, guys.
Okay.
But thank you so much for getting into some shenanigans with me Thanksgiving week. This was truly, I'm thankful for you being here. So
you're the
thank
best.
You.
This was so nice to finally sit down. I'm glad you finally asked me directly instead of just throwing out the thank you for random people. But this has
we
been
made
so
it happen.
Fun. Yeah, you're super sweet.
Absolutely worth the wait.
All right,
thanks so much. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shenanigans with Sheena Shea. Download new episodes every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me one more time. Get over here, boy, I'ma make you mine. Yeah. Do you want it?
Let me see you shake that.
Do you need it?
Let me see you shake that.
Do you want it?
Let me see you shake that.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.